For our scripture lesson this morning, I would like to invite you to an Old Testament passage in the book of Hosea. This is in the book of, thank you. This is in the book of Hosea, the first chapter, and I want to read the first 9 verses. Will you hear these words? The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beriah, in the days of King Hosiah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah of Judah, and the days of King Jeroboam, son of Joash of Israel. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take for yourself a wife of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, daughter of Dalibam, and she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said to him, "Name him Jezreel, for in a little while I will punish the house of Judah and the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. On that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." So she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then the Lord said to him, "Name her Lorama, for I will no longer have pity on the house of Israel or forgive them, but I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen." When she had weaned, Lorama conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said, "Name him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our topic this morning, telling the story. Telling the story. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. When I think about the gift of children in our life, one of the things that they provide for us is the gift of story. On my own, I doubt if I would have ever gone to see Lion King or Toy Story. But because of the kids, I've gone. And sometimes I wonder if I've laughed more during the movies than they have. Also found some point that just spoke to me. There is power in the story. To take it one step further, how much of life's journey can be seen as a story? I think we would long for a story book ending in our life. What I mean by that our life would be like Once Upon a Time, and then they lived happily ever after. But I think we all know that life has a rhythm. Life has a rhythm. I think you can illustrate that this past week as we think about what happened in London. On the day before that Wednesday, there was this great sense of excitement, this great sense now of anticipation that in 2012 they would host the Winter Olympics. But by Thursday morning, a woman said, "I looked around and half the bus was gone." Life has a rhythm. We express that in marriage, for we say to the wedding couple, "For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health." until death do us part. There is a rhythm in life, and a part of that rhythm, it is very much a story. Let me take it one step further and say that somehow our desire must be that our story comes out of our experience with God. And this is where the story of Hosea comes alive for us. Hosea's story was one of faithfulness to God. Hosea was described as a strange and wonderful man. Hosea was also a prophet, and he would use his own experience with God to tell the story of Israel, to tell the story of Israel and its relationship with God. Israel had strayed from God, and to demonstrate it, to illustrate it, Hosea would go out and marry an adulterous woman. They have 3 children, giving each one a name that expressed just where they stood with God. One name meaning standing for punishment that was to come. Another name meaning, I will no longer show love to the house of Israel. And then the 3rd child, and the name meaning, you are not my people, and I am not your God. This was Hosea's story. And he was trying to tell the people that they needed to turn their lives around. Hosea's story did not stop there. For the time would come that his wife would leave them. She ended up in an even worse condition. She ended up on the slave market. Hosea would go and again do something very much different than a Jewish person would do. Hosea would go and would buy his wife back. Bought her back from the slave market. Brought her back home to be his wife. Brought her back home to be the mother of his children. Hosea's experience, his experience with God, was meant to tell the story. And one commentary described it this way: Hosea's experience with God can be described in the language of love and marriage, also infidelity and corruption. For Hosea and all of this, it comes through suffering and sorrow. Can we understand all of this and how we are people of a story? Let me share this story with you. A professor was trying to reach his class on a different level, and so he went and talked to one of the top athletes in the class. He played sports, and he was also in the class, and he asked him, how many push-ups could you do at one time? How many push-ups? The young man said, I believe I could do about 200 at one time. He said to him, would you help me then? Young man said, yes. So one day in class, he stood up and he said, we'll call him Jimmy. Jimmy is going to do 200 push-ups. and he's going to do them as I give you a donut. If you want a donut, he'll do the push-ups. Well, the whole class started laughing. And he went to the first student and said, "Do you want a donut?" And he said, "Yes. Jimmy, do the push-ups." He went to the next student and said, "Do you want a donut?" They said, "Yes." And they started laughing as Jimmy was doing the push-ups. Three or four receiving donuts. Finally, they began to be concerned about Jimmy, his classmates. And one said, "I don't want a donut." The teacher said, "Jimmy, do it, even though they don't want it." The next student went and said, I want a donut, but I'll do my own push-ups." Teacher said, "You can't do it. Jimmy, do the push-ups." They finally finished. And instead of 200, Jimmy ended up doing 300. He was in great pain, and the teacher was even crying by that point for him. But he said to the class, "I want you to understand. I want you to understand just what happened." Jimmy was the only person in the class that could do the push-ups. Not just because he is a great athlete, he is the only one in the class because he has never missed a class. He's the only one in the class because he has never turned in an assignment late. He's the only one in the class that could have done them because he's given all that he had to the class. He's the only one that could have done it. Substitute Jesus Christ for Jimmy for a moment. Substitute life, eternal life, for those donuts. Jesus is the only one that can offer us life. Jesus is the only one through his life, through his suffering, through his death, he's the only one who could offer us this life. If we want it, we have to accept Jesus Christ. If we don't want it, Jesus still died for us, so it's always available, always there for us. If we're just not sure what to take next, Jesus is waiting on us. Jesus paid it all. And so, each of us becomes the Hosea of our time. We have a story to tell. And I believe right now, with all that is happening around us, if right now one part of that story has to be our character, it has to be how we are living day to day. I read not long ago where a preacher was complimented on his sermon. And the preacher was asked, "How long did you work on that sermon?" The preacher responded, 20 years. You see, the preacher accepted God's call upon his life some 20 years ago. And so each sermon represented his experience with God. In the same way, our character represents the experience that we have with God in our life. As persons of character, Gandhi reminded us of this, of evils that need to be avoided. He said, "Wealth without work, pleasure without conscience, commerce without morality, Science without humanity. Worship without sacrifice. Politics without principle. We need to tell the story of God in our life. We need to tell the story so that those all around us can see the character in our life. And then I think we have to tell the story of what it means to be persons of optimism. There are so many negative forces in our life. So many negative forces all around us in our community. So many negative forces in our world. We need to tell the story of what it means to be optimistic. One of my favorite illustrations is that Marine officer. A Marine officer, when he saw that he and his men were surrounded by the enemy. He said, "Men, we are surrounded by the enemy. Don't let a one of them get away." And then that story of two children who were brought to two rooms. One of them was filled with brand new toys, and the other was filled with hay and horse manure. Two children were taken. The one who went to the room, two of them, one was a pessimist, the other was an optimist. The pessimist went to look in the room that had all of those brand new toys, and he started to cry. He said, "Soon these brand new toys will be broken." The optimist was in the other room, shoveling. And he said to himself, "With all of this hay and all of this horse manure, there must be a horse in here somewhere." What is it to be an optimist? It is not to be in denial, but it is to have hope. It is have hope. That believing and trusting in God, that God is good. Amen? We are people who, like Hosea, might find ourselves in the strangest of situations, doing the strangest things. But it is at those moments, have hope and say deep down within yourself, "I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story because in my heart, I know it's true." Praise God. Amen.